Hi, I'm Carly.
And I'm Brett.
And together we are Nutrient Junkies. As a busy working professional, I see food as, well, fuel. My cooking philosophy is that meals should be fast, simple, and efficient so I can avoid being
angry.
And I'm a holistic nutritionist and uncontrollable foodie.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, I love making wholesome, healthy meals.
Together, we take both of these culinary perspectives and demystify the fundamentals of nutrition, one ingredient at a time.
Let's eat!
So, Brett, what's on the menu today?
Beets.
Ah, the food of my peoples. I am Polish and I have a strong ancestral tie to beets in all forms.
What's your favorite form of beets?
Obviously, borscht.
I had the privilege this Christmas of having an authentic borscht soup and it was the best.
I know.
Beets, beets, beets. Beets, beets, beets. Beets, beets.
When I'm looking at beets, unfortunately, I'm highly disappointed in the 512,000 posts on Instagram that feature beets. Borscht is not in those top posts. What the actual heck?
Maybe they just haven't had good borscht.
Maybe not, but it looks like we're looking at beet juice, mm-hmm. beet hummus, mm-hmm. beets in salad, beets in all forms. But come on, let's repopularize the borscht, people. Tell me about the food of my peoples. What's the history behind the beet?
Beets were not originally cultivated in Poland.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
They grew wildly on the northern coasts of Africa.
What?
Yeah. And it wasn't until the Roman Empire.
I don't like this.
As they always do, they harvested and cultivated and distributed them throughout Europe, eventually leading to Poland.
Poland only.
Poland only. But their popularity didn't really bloom until the 19th century. So in 1733, the British Empire enacted the Sugar Act, limiting this trade of sugar cane and the production of sugar to their stores only.
So they put a monopoly on sugar?
They put a monopoly on sugar. It was a huge exportation business.
Can you imagine the board game Monopoly made entirely out of sugar? They could be different colored sugar cubes.
And you got to eat the taxes?
Yeah. Can you imagine if you could be a human being right now eating your taxes?
Delicious.
Not nutritious, no.
By the 1800s, Napoleon Bonaparte of France put research into the creation of sugar through the sugar beet.
Do you know why?
They had their colonies that had embargoes from the British.
So they were just trying to make something sweet. That was a direct competitor to sugarcane.
Yeah, so the British were importing all of this sugarcane and it was costing a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then Napoleon's people developed a way to make sugar out of beets so they could grow them locally and their profits skyrocketed.
I can imagine. Why is beet sugar not popular now?
It is.
What? Beet sugar.
Beet sugar.
Where do I purchase this? Why is it not in our kitchen?
Because it is just pure sugar. We don't have pure sugar in our kitchen.
Living with a nutritionist, let me tell you.
Today, beets and beet sugar is readily available, can be grown most places in the world, even though they were wild in the northern shores of Africa, the northern parts of Europe and Canada grow them extensively. The beet trade is a large part of the province of Alberta's exports.
Really?
Not just oil.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we work on a rebrand for Alberta? I mean, everyone's trying to get Torontonians to move to Alberta. Why not entice them with beet sugar?
It's a $1 million industry.
You can have an affordable home and a plethora of beet sugar.
And beets.
And beets.
Of all sorts of colors. The beets do come in the classic deep red color, lighter golden beets, and even...
Those are good. Have you had the lighter golden beets?
I have, yeah. My favorite ones are the multicolored, the red and white alternating ones.
I haven't had those.
They're called candy cane beets.
Do they taste like candy canes?
They taste like beets.
Okay, so with that, disappointing news about candy cane beets, that they don't taste like mint, and they aren't a holiday beet. Tell me why. tell me why. Beets are the best.
Well, unlike a lot of root vegetables, the whole plant can be eaten. The greens and the roots.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Both the roots and the greens are high in magnesium, phosphorus, iron, and B vitamins. The greens are a little bit higher in calcium, vitamin C, and vitamin A. And then the roots will give you a nice dose of folic acid, and they're a great source of fiber and manganese and potassium.
What is manganese, and why is it different from magnesium?
They are two completely different elements, if you look at the periodic table.
Well, that's very confusing.
It really is. That's why I emphasize manganese.
Who did this?
Scientists.
Way to go, scientists.
Way to go, scientists. But beets, if you're eating the whole plant, are like a little multivitamin from the ground.
That's adorable. But they don't taste like mint. What are the beneficial differences between magnesium and manganese? I'm learning this for the first time.
Magnesium, it's like a muscle relaxant. It is necessary for a lot of enzyme actions. Manganese has completely separate roles. It's beneficial for
your knees.
Can't promise that one. But food and energy metabolism, it's an essential, necessary element. It's high in beets.
Okay, well, now that we know the difference between magnesium, manganese, and that beets are high in vitamin C, vitamin A, phosphorus, iron, vitamin B6, who would benefit from regular consumption of beets other than my Polish ancestors?
A lot of the studies done on beets have been specifically for people with liver issues, like non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and people with high blood pressure.
Really?
Yeah. In 2019, researchers at ARA's Lucknow Medical College in India found that supplementing with beetroot powder had a protective effect on the liver and actually reduced the size of the liver in non-alcoholic fatty liver disease patients.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm. They were looking at the overall result. They didn't find the actual mechanism of how these things worked, but they did recommend that further studies should be done, and I agree. Many studies should be done on beets.
What would you say about potentially adding beetroot powder to a juice after a day or an evening of, you know, intense celebrations?
Protecting your liver from intense celebrations would be a really beneficial thing to do. The antioxidants are going to help process any alcohol or anything like that. It's going to reduce any inflammation that's being done to your organs. And then if we take a look at the blood pressure benefits, It'll also just help with blood flow in general, which if we can help blood flow, everything works a little bit better.
Okay. Can you tell me more about the blood pressure benefits? Any studies associated with that?
In 2008, researchers at the University of London found that drinking 500 milliliters of beet juice reduced blood pressure in healthy subjects. They found that it only took about an hour for the subject's blood pressure to begin to drop and continued to drop for 3 to 4 hours after that.
Wow.
Strong juice.
Did they find out why this happened? Was this just like a magical phenomenon? Phenomena of beets or
the magic of beets? No, the nutrients inside of the beets actually boost nitric oxide production.
Okay, so we're in a manganese situation. I do not know what nitric oxide is. Can you please tell me about nitric oxide and why we need it and what it's good for?
So nitric oxide is a chemical that we make inside of our bodies. One of its main roles is to open blood vessels up. From a physics perspective, if we're looking at pressure in a tube, if we have the same amount of fluid in a larger tube, the pressure will drop. So if we can open our blood vessels up, then our blood pressure can drop naturally.
Just open up my blood vessels, baby. You got pressure in my vessels.
I'd listen to that song.
Number one hit. Now that beets are a Grammy Award nominated food, is there anyone that is at risk? Is there anybody that should avoid consuming beets?
So the main concern, besides that beets can be made into sugar, the main concern is that both the roots and the leaves have a high amount of oxalates. So for anybody that can potentially grow calcium oxalate kidney stones, their beet consumption should be monitored. And if they are going to eat them, oxalates are water soluble. So you can boil them, you can steam them, you can blanch them, and that significantly lowers the beet oxalate amount, but you need to discard that water.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you're making a beet soup and you want to lower the oxalates, blanch them first and then transfer them into the soup.
Yeah, I've been reading recently about folks that are sensitive to oxalates. What is an oxalate?
An oxalate is a chemical that's in our body. Mm-hmm. It can bind to calcium, and then that doesn't filter through the kidneys very well, and they can build up and build up and build up until you develop a kidney stone.
How do you get a sensitivity to oxalates? Do you know?
There is a genetic component to that. Also, magnesium deficiencies.
Do you know if there would be symptoms after eating beets that would indicate potentially that you are sensitive to oxalates?
To my knowledge, they don't work that quickly.
I see. So it's like a slow buildup over time.
It's a slow buildup over time. Then you start getting pains in your back where the kidneys lay. And then if you have a kidney stone attack, then you're in for a rough time.
Okay. So then I guess the recommendation would be, if you want to know if you're sensitive to oxalates for sure, as a preventative measure, to get your DNA tested.
That would be a good step.
Are there any other folks that would not benefit from consuming beets other than those who are sensitive to oxalates?
Mm-hmm. So this is a bit of a larger conversation, but individuals that are on a restrictive diet that really focus on the glycemic index of foods are going to look at beets and run for the hills. The glycemic index is a measure of the amount of carbohydrates in a food.
Yeah.
White sugar or beet sugar weighing in at 100 on the glycemic index.
Holy moly.
That's the standard. Beets weigh in at an 86. So if you look at the index, you're like, wow, beets are not going to be good for you.
Yeah.
A more accurate measure of the amount of carbohydrates in a food is the glycemic load. And this scale takes the carbohydrates and compares it to how much it actually raises your blood sugar. And in this scenario, something like white rice is going to weigh in at a 34, which is high on the load scale.
Okay.
Beets weigh in at a 6.
What is the scale for the glycemic load? So the glycemic index is 0 to 100. Mm-hmm. What's the scale on the load?
Because of how it's calculated, it just gives ranges. So anything over 20 is a high glycemic load.
I see.
Yeah.
So anything under 20 is acceptable from a glycemic load index.
Or 1 to 10 being really good.
Yeah.
10 to 20 being moderate. And then above 20, you're like, okay, maybe we should moderate.
Wow, that's pretty game-changing information. Obviously, always talk to your doctor before deciding whether or not you want to incorporate beets into your diet if you are following a low glycemic index diet. Mm-hmm. But I do think that definitely is part of a larger conversation outside of the scope of, of beets between glycemic indexes and glycemic loads.
It's time recipes for easy cooking.
Give me your best beet recipe that you can make in under 10 minutes or less. I'd better be borscht.
I have an Italian heritage. I'm not going to try and teach you how to make a nice bowl of borscht.
All right.
But
what are you going to teach me?
How to make a pretty in pink salad dressing.
I mean, that does sound really fun.
I love making medicinal salad dressings.
Yeah, that's actually something Brett introduced to me when we first started living together. And I had never thought of a salad dressing being medicinal outside of, you know, a good quality olive oil and a good quality vinegar. But you've introduced a lot of interesting things. So
yeah,
tell me about this pretty in pink salad dressing.
So salad dressings are a beautiful way to sneak things in.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Sneaky, sneaky. But the base, we have a quarter cup of tahini, This is sesame seed butter. You have 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar. And then this is where we're jumping from Whole Foods here. We're going to do 1 tablespoon of beetroot powder. You can get this at most of your local health food stores. And this will be the stuff that the London University used to facilitate their experiments on blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can add salt and pepper, put it in a mason jar, shake it up, put it on your salad. You can also sneak in a ton more fun things.
So Brett's actually made this salad dressing for us before. I really, really enjoy it. It tastes good with fruits. Like if you put strawberries in that salad, it's a really wonderful complement. Then your salad's just like red and pink and green. And I really like adding a little bit of garlic powder to taste to it as well.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about it. Like if you want a little bit more anti-inflammatory help, you can add some turmeric powder. If you want a little bit more blood pressure lowering help, you can put cayenne in there to make it spicy. You can also add like kefir water or probiotics, dulse flakes, nutritional yeast. If you got it in the pantry, if it'll mix, put it in and it might taste good. So how does this recipe rate?
You know what? I'm going to do something that's pretty unprecedented. I'm going to give this recipe a 10 out of 10.
Hey-o!
It is quick. It's efficient, nutrient dense, customizable. That's what I really like about it is that it's customizable. You can add 1 or 2 very small ingredients to make it whatever you want to make it. I love that it's a simple base that you can build off of. I think it makes a lot of sense, particularly from a meal prep perspective. So good job.
Thanks.
In terms of sourcing beets, what are your recommendations? Do we need to get organic? Is this part of the Dirty Dozen?
Beets are not on the Dirty Dozen.
Amazing.
But be sure to wash the greens thoroughly before you cook them. Similar greens like the collards, kale, mustard greens are on the Dirty Dozen.
They are,
yeah.
And beets aren't.
Beets are not.
Hey.
Just be sure to blanch or steam if you are concerned about
the oxalates.
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, awesome. Well, this was a fun episode. Thank you, Brett.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, everyone, so much for listening. If you like this episode, please be sure to rate and subscribe. Also, just a reminder, Brett is a holistic nutritionist. He is taking on more clients. So if you are interested in having him put together a protocol for you, please DM us at Nutrient Junkies on Instagram and we'll happily set you up and get you started. Until next time, junkies,
eat well.